shit.
I'm cosplaying as a nerd. I'm Favron.
I'm Plaswolf.
I can't do funny voices. I'm Shiva.
It has been 2 weeks. It has been quite the 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes, it has.
We staggered the episodes, but primarily because, you know, shit happens. And not like we've set up a Patreon or anything.
Yeah, we don't owe you shit, is what he said.
What?
Well, no, that's the thing, actually. We were kind of considering it, but that would require us to make sure that we put an episode on time every week.
We've been pretty good about that.
Oh, I know.
Overall. Just, but shit happens sometimes.
And to be I could see that if, you know, something happened, like when your first lot of equipment vamoosed. Yeah. And we need to replace everything. But for the most part, Adam and Eve helps us replace most of our stuff as stuff breaks.
Yep.
So.
Honestly, thinking back on it, I don't know how the fuck we thought that we were going to record an episode last week anyway. Even if I had been in town, it was still Akon.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we think for a second that that was going to work?
Because I didn't go to Akon until Friday morning.
So why didn't you guys record then?
He had people coming into town.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
see, caught you. Caught you in your lie.
I had two guests coming in.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock. You could have recorded at 8.
Meh.
I had to do some emergency last second cleanup.
You had to wipe your dick off so to be ready for your guests. You'd be like, how are we paying for this room, Sandy? And they'd be like, you'd be like, zip, thump, get sucking.
Yeah. Cartoon horses still have. So yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Akon was last weekend. It was
Akon.
It was a convention. Like a million people.
More like 20,000, right?
Yeah, like 23,000, 25,000.
Savern, can you hand me my healthy vitamin water? It's out of reach of my short stubby T-Rex type arms.
I didn't actually attend any single function of the convention. I was there.
You were a booth babe.
We had a booth babe. The friend who came in, his fiance, has this really hot Rainbow Dash Shadowbolt cosplay, and she has the body to pull it off.
Oh, okay. I saw the picture. I just thought that was a random cosplayer.
No, that was.
I didn't see her. Is that your phony account? Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to see.
She came with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
They got kind of last second press passes, or he did, and she just got one of the convention passes that we got.
Cool.
And I sat at the table all weekend. I looked around the room, smooched some people, talked to some vendors and whatnot. But I did not attend the convention as an attendee. I attended the convention as someone there to do a job. And mm-hmm. It was very successful. We gave a lot of flyers out. And I really got to say, next year Fiesta should just get a table. Because they said, oh no, we've got like a full alley. No, they didn't. Like, 70% of the tables in the convention alley were empty.
For like the whole weekend?
Yeah. Like, BronyCon was supposed to have a table. A couple other cons are just never fucking showed up. Or they showed up on like middle day Saturday and then were like, oh, well, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
The table next to us was some con up in Oklahoma City that the person didn't even bother to be there for like 2/3 of the convention. And I'm like, this is like the single largest marketing opportunity
ever
for most of these cons, and you're slacking? The fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
So, I did my due diligence, and next year Fiesta should be able to get a table, no problem.
Okay.
Because this year they stuck the con alley in the back of the artist alley, which is in a controlled space. Last year it was not, it was outside the vendor room.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not a controlled space, but it ultimately worked out better because you didn't have to pack out your shit every night.
Yeah, I could see that.
You could count on yourself being there in the morning, which is really important.
I notice I'm getting a lot of background sound when one of us speaks.
Well, unfortunately,
I don't think it's just the echo, though, is it?
Well, we also have the air conditioning.
Oh, all right.
The way the mic's placed in the vent is right behind me.
Oh.
Yeah. So, moving on to, actually, so,
right.
That was my weekend. You can explain your weekend, and we'll go into what the fuck we're doing with the money that we get from AdamandEve.com.
Okay. So, my weekend kind of sucked. As some people may or may not know, Tieran's grandmother was sick. So over Memorial Day weekend, we had driven out there to Colorado to see her.
Oh, I didn't realize she was all the way out in Colorado.
Yeah, she was. That's not my mic. You disconnected us.
No, you're so
fine. I'm in the middle of speaking.
That's fine.
Okay. And, you know, so we'd seen her. Tieran and I had gone out there with his brother. And we'd seen her. And I went over to us on last week's episode, and we'd come back. Well, she passed away only 8 days later. Due to terminal cancer. So we were going to stay home and really work hard on all this Fur Planet stuff that we were going to be working on for Anthrocon, which is what I said in the last episode. And instead, we ended up going back out to Colorado to attend a funeral. My employer amazingly gave me 3 days of bereavement leave, even though Tieran and I are not married yet, and this was his grandmother, not like his parents. Some places don't even give you any time off for grandparents. But both of our employers gave us 3 days off, which was pretty miraculous. And I always say that like it's a big deal. It was because it allowed me to go out there and be with him and to attend her funeral and everything, which meant a lot to us. But that was basically my weekend.
How long of a drive is it to Colorado?
That part is about 14, 15 hours.
So it's a haul.
So, yeah, I mean, when we came back, we did it all in one shot because, yeah, we got back super late and kind of a wreck. But, you know, and then yesterday, I had actually already scheduled a day off of work on Wednesday because I had another back procedure where this one's slightly more invasive, slightly deeper, where they actually go and coat the nerve itself in steroids and not just the joint around it. So I had that yesterday. I had it done first thing in the morning, and I'm really glad I took that day off of work because I ended up basically just laying in bed most of the day. That was the only way I was actually kind of comfortable. Like, this one hurt a little bit more than the other ones did. But I'm on pain meds, and so today I did okay at work. I went back to work today after, like, a week off. And, you know, I wish it had been a fun, happy week off vacation thing, but it really wasn't. It was a time off out of necessity.
Yeah. Still, that's really nice and progressive of your company to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're totally, like, even if Texas doesn't recognize our marriage, the company I work for will, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's definitely good to have. They're very supportive. They were very supportive when my mom passed away as well, with being able to arrange getting me extra time off to take care of her house and stuff like that. So, yeah. You know, I've been working for a really good company. I got back today and I had a pretty good day at work. It was pretty productive. And Tieran and I are just throwing ourselves into doing layouts and edits and stuff like that for all of our new Anthrocon releases. At current count, we're looking at about 18 new releases.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah. Between and it's not just all one thing or another. There's art books, there's comic books, there's short story anthologies, there's novels and novellas. There's like a little bit of everything. It's going to be a pretty big year for us. So, you know, yeah, nervous about Anthrocon, but also, you know, looking forward to it. I've actually...
I feel a little better. Oh, yeah, that's a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
Yeah, you sound a lot better now. God, I've actually started to have anxiety dreams about Anthrocon.
Oh, God, you're going to show up, and you're going to be in your underwear, and the entire class is laughing, and nobody has their dick out.
You say that just joking, but there is that dream where you show up to work naked.
Yeah.
That.
Well, it's like it's a common trope, I guess, if people have been like, it's like an anxiety dream of showing up and you're not dressed appropriately and it's really embarrassing. And yeah, I dreamed that I showed up in a convention dealer's room naked from the waist down, and I saw I saw Brer from Sofa Wolf. He was actually in my dream, and like he wouldn't meet my eyes. He just kind of looked away. Like, this was my fucking dream. I was like, oh my god, and I'm not set up, and I'm not dressed, and I'm totally not prepared for Anthrocon, and I woke up like, oh my god. Like, oh, I've been a fur fag for way too long. I'm having the fucking terror sweats about convention preparation now.
You should have this down, like, you know.
I think it's because we're running a little behind on some things because we've had shit happen. We've been out of town two weeks in the last month, and we have a lot of stuff coming due all at once, you know. And it's just a lot all at once, and so, yeah, a little nervous, but also looking forward to, like, getting a lot of this stuff out. I mean, some of it's, like, really good shit, you know, that I'm really excited about and everything, so. And I'm excited to just be putting out, you know, all this stuff, so.
Yeah, I had that comment the other day. I was just like, you know, 18 books for Anthrocon. You gotta always have a bunch for FC. You have a couple for Fiesta. And, you know, it's like, you were worried at one point, is it gonna trickle? Is it gonna...
Yeah.
You know, dry up and like, no, there's still so many artists and stuff putting out all this stuff. The proof we saw on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Savern this the other day that, like, first year that we owned the company was 2008, and Heathen City came out, and that was like the big release that year. Like, we had Heathen City, so Wolf had Dog's Days of Summer. So it was like a huge year for publishers. And I was totally worried. I was like, fuck. How am I going to find, like, good new shit to release every Anthrocon, you know? If we don't always have, like, some new stuff every year, you know, we're not going to be able to keep this going. And after you've been a successful publishing operation for a couple of years, it becomes really easy. As you work with an artist once successfully, then they want to work with you again. So it's like they put out volume one of their art book. Well, next year is volume two, and the year after that is volume three. And then you add a couple more artists, and now it's like, well, now we're putting out three art books from three different people at Anthrocon and stuff like that. And
or a fourth art book from an artist and then a separate side book.
Yeah, yeah. In the case of Sanpico this year, we've got a side portfolio. It's 28 pages of all Mick, you know, and she takes it in the ass, which I love.
It's hot.
And the fourth volume of his series of folios, but... It just all builds very cumulatively like that, and pretty soon you end up like, oh my god, I've got so many things to release, which is a great problem to have. So yeah, it's like the opposite of my worries initially of not having enough to publish. Now it's like, I've got so much to publish, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shiva, what's been up with you in the last...
Not a lot, I mean... Really been kind of having a couple boring weekends. A lot of different...
That'd be kind of nice, actually.
You can have a boring weekend after Anthrocon.
I mean, it's just been a lot of, like, chores, getting caught up on stuff, things like that. I mean, yeah. Not a lot of anything new or exciting.
So, 2 or 3 weeks after Anthrocon, Tira and I will be flying to California to do the legal part of our marriage. So, and then after that, it's Rocky Mountain Fur Con, and then 2 weeks after that, it's Rainforest, and then around that, then the end of August, we're doing our actual wedding out here, so, no, I'm not going to have a boring weekend anytime soon.
I should talk
soon.
To you about Rocky Mountain Fur Con. I've been wanting to go to that con for a while.
Yeah, you're totally welcome to come with me, dude, because Zia's going to be there to help me. But since he's out west now, he's going to fly in, as opposed to previous years, we would pick him up in Albuquerque on the way.
Yeah.
So, and Buck's not going this year, and Taryn's not going, because I'm going instead. So
you'll need a table. You'll need a table help anyway.
If you want to come and help out, you know, and have someone to ride with me on the way there, that, you know, that'd be fine.
Sweet.
So...
That sounds good. I don't think that's on a weekend that I have anything.
It's in August sometime, I think.
Okay, right. Yeah, because now I have my own cons I have to worry about, right? Mm. I've got Anime Fest, I've got Fiesta Equestria, I've got Brony Fanfare. I talked to the chairman of that con. We're not going to have a problem this year.
Oh, good. Yeah, last year was a massive was drama clusterfuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to explain what this podcast was to their security dude who got told... Very harshly by my new convention bosses that he should never pull that shit.
Oh, nice.
that after the fact. But, yeah, little did you know that, oh God, somebody can do something outside of the fandom they're actually there to represent at the time, and oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, when you look at the mainstream world, having a dirty sense of humor is not a fucking massive sin to make you a terrible person.
No, but
otherwise, Kevin Smith and Dan Savage would not have successful podcasts. And giving relationship advice is not a fucking horrible thing to do.
No, it's not. A sin. But we all saw what was being sent around to some fuckers last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But we won't have that problem. It's
Puritan cocksuckers.
You know. He's just an evil fuckhead. But again, that's too many words wasted on an evil motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, good news on our front. So,
yeah.
Our roommate has moved out. We now have a spare bedroom. We are now going to use some of that money raised via Adam and Eve. Use our coupon code NOT to get us money to make our studio pretty sweet. So last quarter, Adam and Eve never makes us a lot of money, but we don't need a lot of money. We do this because we want to. We're not in this to make cash. We don't have to pay for hosting. You know,
I do actually pay for hosting.
You pay for hosting for your business.
Yeah. Which takes up like 1/1000th of what my server can actually do. And then just pile of bandwidth for all of your podcasts. Not even this one. Actually, you owe me a couple bucks for being... Just give me that, Adam and Eve, trip, bitch. Anyway, go ahead. Tell us about the studio.
Anyway, so we're converting that bedroom into a studio. Right now, we've got like a 6-foot table in there. That's about it. But I've ordered tabletop mic stands. We'll get some more XLR cables. We'll have a permanent setup for the show, so it's not in our living room.
Yeah.
And cables snaking everywhere. We'll have... I purchased 36 square feet of acoustic foam. And I'm going to turn that room red and black.
Should be green and purple, yo.
No. I got all this stuff off Amazon, and it was only like a portion of what we actually had allotted for the studio at this point. We're still going to be getting more stuff, but we're basically upgrading our shit from basically the same equipment we've had since it got replaced after the robbery like 5 years ago, years ago. So that was always crazy that people actually donated money for us to do that back then.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
And we're grateful. I'm sure many people listening to the show are too.
It's so awesome that foam's going to be red and black, just like my Shadow Wolf OC. Yeah. He's a badass.
He's got an angel wing and a demon wing.
So, yeah, we're going to have proper acoustic baffling in the room. Going to get some corner baffling done. We're going to get some curtains for that room. Some blackout curtains to go over the windows.
Let's suck up some of the sound bouncing.
Yeah. Better get the acoustic curtains, though, because there's a difference between blackout curtains and acoustic curtains.
Yeah.
Acoustic curtains is heavy, like a dead body.
Well, blackout curtains are pretty heavy, too.
These are basically heavier.
You need absorbed.
They're made of lead. Don't lick them. I found these asbestos curtains on sale. They really block out a lot of sound.
So,
die.
But hopefully next week...
This is the last episode of Notcast.
So hopefully next week's episode will probably sound a lot different because we'll be recording in that room with proper... sound baffling. We're not...
It's also a much smaller room and less cavernous than your living room / kitchen / dining room. The apartment's very open plane design and we'll be in one smaller bedroom with a closing door.
13x10.
Yeah. That'll help it be a lot less echoey and such, too.
So, things are afoot. Plus, I'll be able to use that for audiobook recording as well.
Yeah, that's going to sound a lot better. I mean, your audiobooks already sound pretty good. I don't know what you're doing, just getting all up on that mic or something, because you can't hear a lot of the echo and shit that we suffer from.
A lot of it is just,
you throw your voice. And
yes, I throw my voice.
Your voice is baffling, hence sucking up audio.
We'll also have pop filters for all of our... for all the mics.
I can't wait for that, because, we have a lot of P words, like... penis, pussy, prostitution, penetration,
pony.
Pony, yeah.
Lots of that.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. We'll have a dedicated space. We'll be able to have a dedicated setup.
Mm-hmm.
And since we don't, like, travel to conventions to do the podcast, it doesn't actually need to...
You could bolt that fucker to the wall, and then the next time a tornado comes and rips the roof off, we can still podcast.
Yes.
While the tornado is happening.
This sure sucks. Well, that's a good thing that they got those Kevlar curtains. The shards of glass are just bouncing off. So, yeah, it'll be cool.
I'm looking forward to, I mean, what are we going to call it? You know, Fox Duffer Studios, Notcast Studios.
Saverin's Fear Hole.
Cavernous Fox Anus Studios.
God.
Echo Studios.
No Echo.
That'd be the opposite of a good thing, you know. Wow, it sounds like a fox anus in here.
No, yeah. That's this room.
And what's great is that the foam that I purchased, it's not that expensive. If I somehow need more at any point in the future, it's like about $45 per 12 square feet.
That's not too bad.
And Shiva can rub her face on it and purr.
It'll
be soft and foamy.
And she can sharpen her claws and ruin everything. So yeah, exciting times.
Hopefully better sound times.
Yeah, plus we won't have these long-ass cables snaking across the room.
Yeah.
They'll just be all right there next to my computer desk.
Comply to OSHA and not have trip hazards. Mm-hmm. Put in, like, stripe tape.
No filing any work comp claims.
I mean, look at the freaking spaghetti festival this floor is.
It's just
cables noodling everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Be nice to get this set up, though.
Cable management. Ooh.
Yeah. See, like, because the cable management inside the box is pretty good. But, like, outside the box, it's like somebody just vomited XLR cables all over the floor. And then they arose and became tentacle monsters and filled all of our Orify.
Plural. Orify.
Yes. To rhyme with horrify, which is what that mental image does to me.
Beyond that, hey, Wildstar's fun. My little Chua Saverin.
My little Chua.
I tried playing it, and it's still slightly chunky on my machine enough so it gives me a headache. So.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I get the general theory of, wow, you know, there's the Horde, there's the Alliance, you're a big badass, you go out and you kill shit and you earn stuff. What is the basic plot, the elevator pitch plot of Wildstar?
Okay, so the elevator pitch of Wildstar, there's two factions. The Exiles and the Dominion. The Dominion is your prototypical evil British space empire.
Okay.
Who do diplomacy at the point of a gun. They have swords too, but they have big guns.
Mm-hmm.
And the Exile faction is basically, they started out as humans that said, fuck your oppressive government bullshit, we're going to go do our own thing. And along the way, they've picked up a few more races that helped them out, that are all were exiled or had their homes destroyed or whatever through some, usually their own
bullshit. The Rebel Fleet.
Yeah, they're like the Rebel Fleet. And basically, they find this planet Nexus. Nexus is the homeworld of the Eldan, the ancient space aliens, you know, space elves.
Look a little bit like blood elves, at least the Hoff dude does.
Basically, their first emperor came from there.
Okay.
And they're like, but they hadn't known where it was, so now the Dominion wants to go to the planet. They've established it as their new capital. But the Exiles are there trying to make a new home because, well, the Dominion's a bunch of dickheads, and they're fighting over the planet at this point. So basically you have space cowboys fighting space colonial Britain over space Australia.
Okay.
And that's about it. I've ended up on the Caretaker server called Caretaker, on the Dominion side.
Has like a ton of furries on it, right?
Vermi and Bravo and Tesser and Teaselbone and a bunch of other furries. I'm in a guild with them
Siam's
as well.
Siam's
on there.
I don't know if you guys are playing with him or what, but he's on there.
I haven't seen him on that much. But we are in a guild called For Science. And Tester and I have been having fun dueling. We're nowhere near... We're at level 30. Cap is 50. But we're not rushing. It's all new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no reason to rush and skip all the information and the journals and whatnot. Because they've made a really well-fleshed-out world. And it's a fresh game. You know, there's bugs, and they're always fixing them. They're very transparent with that, too. It's like, yo, there's a bug, and we're fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Sam was saying. They're constantly patching, and yes, they're really, you know.
Yeah, and what's nice, though, is that their system is made for add-ons. A lot of the sub-things in the game are basically add-ons that you can flip on and off. And so whenever they update something, it doesn't break all your add-ons. It's great.
Cool.
Unlike in WoW. Anytime there's a patch, all your add-ons break, and they have to update them.
Ah.
But yeah, I have my little space finnick, Chua, Savrin, and it's a lot of fun. Everyone's like, oh, this is the WoW killer. There's no WoW killer. The only WoW killer out there is WoW. But it's a fun MMO. They seem to have pretty decent populations on their servers right now. There's lots of people at 50 already, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I guess some people just get on there any game, just play the fuck out of it until they get to the end as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, these are probably people that also played in the beta. They knew every route. And when you're in a group, for the vast majority of quests, you get whatever you kill counts for everybody at the same rate. And you don't get diminished XP, unlike in WoW. Because when you're in a group in WoW, if you're five people, you get a fifth of the XP.
Mm.
Whereas in WoWstar, if you're in a group of five, that's great. You just fucked everything in this entire area and you got full XP for all of them. And encourage you to do to... There's a proper benefit for grouping.
Right.
So, I mean, just Tester and I dueling, we wreck shit left and right. And, we die like idiots pretty frequently too.
Mm-hmm.
But me more often than he. I do more DPS, so I pull off of him and I've fallen off of cliffs and stuff like that.
Derpy little Phoenix. Yep, 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 yep. Splat.
It's like, it's okay, I'm on a mount. Oh shit, hoverboards land on water. Ah. My legs, my spine goes through my asshole as I splatter on the water.
Jeez. This sounds like a fun game.
It is a lot of fun. And, everybody compares the aesthetic to Ratchet and Clank, and that really is.
Mm.
But it's been live, and it's fun. So if anybody plays, some say hi.
Okay.
You know. We level, and the game is very, very friendly to leveling. And they have the mentoring system from City of Heroes, where if you're, like, level fuck you, and someone's making an alt, but you want to level with them, you can choose to mentor them, which takes you down to their level.
Oh.
You still have your same gear, you're just scaled down. Kind of like they were talking about doing it in WoW for a little bit.
Yeah.
Where you could scale down to...
I thought you could do that in the... But maybe they didn't.
They had it for a while in the PTR, and people were talking about it because they saw, holy shit, why is this Death Knight level 40? This doesn't make any sense because of Death Knight running Skullamance with...
his friends.
With his friends. But it was like a bug. But in WildStar, they just implemented that you scale up or down. Like, in PvP, before level 50, everyone scaled up to level 30. So you don't have... a level 6 going in there, and then this level 20 twink comes in and wrecks his day.
Mm.
I mean, you're still going to get outplayed, but they've made it to
it's
the...
It's based more on the skill of the player.
Yeah, PvP is actually fun, and I don't do PvP that often, but I've actually played quite a few matches of PvP in WildStar, because it's no longer, this person's played PvP for hours and hours and hours, and they're just going to wreck my shit because their gear is way better. Everyone's kind of equalized to a certain point, and then only when you're at level 50 does the actual... Is there actually gear difference?
Hmm.
So they had something similar in Final Fantasy, I think it was 11, where you basically got... If you both equip the same item, it would scale you down to be able to run with them again. So mm-hmm. it's like a hat or something.
Yeah. Which minor. It also makes it a lot of fun because, you know, even though you're scaled down, you still have all your abilities. You don't get all of your ability slots and all your eighth ability slot to level 30.
Mm-hmm.
But if you scale down, you still have all your slots.
Huh.
So you still have more utility, but the whole point is you're a high-level character helping a friend, so why take away the utility?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use all your abilities. So it's great fun. And it makes doing alts a lot more fun, because it's like, oh god, you don't have to start another alt with me, you can just get on your main, scale down with me, and then we can just face.
That's kind of handy.
So, it's fun.
So, just saw something really kind of shitty, and I don't know if this is a common issue that people have. So my cousin does landscaping, uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. And he does really good. It's not he does it as his own love, and he does it as like a business. But so he had planted a whole bunch of roses this upcoming year, and they were about to start blooming. And he had been one that he was really looking forward to. What it's supposed to look like, because from the advertisements and what this breed is supposed to do, it's supposed to be gorgeous. And so it had that perfect little, like, blush, so he was going to come home and expecting it to be show. Someone had come by and cut off the blooms of his rose with a pair of scissors, or a blade or something. It's not like an animal came up and nom, 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 nom. Someone had basically gone into his front yard and clipped off his probably took it home, stuck it in a vase on their kitchen table. It's like, what the fuck? You go into somebody's front yard and cut up their landscaping to take home?
That's fucking mighty entitled.
Yeah! No shit!
That's crazy.
I mean, he hadn't even gotten to see one thing from this bush do anything yet, and somebody just comes by and clip, clip, clip.
Time to start kicking down some neighbor's front doors. And he's
like, if it happens again, I'm getting a fucking security camera, then I'm going to go kick the ass of the neighbor that does it.
Yeah, that's really shitty, though. I mean, they took all of his roses, basically.
Yeah. His babies in his front yard. I mean, for crying out loud. Who thinks that that's okay to come to somebody's yard and take anything like that? Fucking entitled people. My God.
Assholes.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
So, we want to read something?
Yep, let's read some emails. I don't know what time it is, but okay. I don't know how long we've been recording, but it is 9:41.
I'm going to start with this one. It's a question that only Saverin can answer.
Does it have to do with giant satellite ear dishes?
I thought you were going to go another direction with that.
Well, we always do the cavernous ass, so I figured you'd do something else there.
It's difficult. To do like an asshole, like the Holland Tunnel, just... They call me the channel.
Read your email.
He just gave me such a look of hate. Like, what the fuck?
I'm surprised there wasn't a middle finger involved there.
Well, I know one middle finger isn't enough. Yeah, stretch your out, both fists.
So you have bottom, so you one is good enough for you.
Yeah, probably. That damn derpy dog asked a question. Hey guys, and Shiva, just wondering what the song you used for the intermission in episode 240 was. Thanks. Okay, Saverin, what was it?
That's a good goddamn question. I guess we'll have to find out after the break.
Hang on. Because I had our website up a minute ago. See, 240 title was quite the bracing session. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember a lot of things. That was like 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
So don't archive that one and we'll look it up in the break.
Yeah. Oh, too late. I think I just archived it. But well, still. Just
episode 241. We'll find it.
240. God, Saverin.
Anyways, so I will find that out.
Okay.
And I'll say it after the break. So, all right. Goodness. Desperate Bunny. Hey, guys. You said last episode that it wasn't impossible to get a job with no experience. I was just wondering if you have any tips to help me out. I've been applying almost everywhere available for 3 years now. I've never gotten an interview. I say almost because first 5 or 6 months I refused to apply at fast food, and I just wouldn't. That just wouldn't work. The only place I want to apply to now is the Tyson plant because I physically can't. We drive past the place with the windows rolled up, and the little bit of stench that comes through the AC makes me drive heave and lose my lunch. I may not have bothered to apply as management position, seeing as I have no experience. I moved from foster home to foster home, so all my references are out of contact, and when I was 16, the POS guy I lived with at the time refused to agree to drive me to work if I got a job. We literally lived at least 10 miles from any businesses. I looked around on the internet, and I'm taking up volunteer work as suggested for experience, but I'm just getting really discouraged. I live in a small North Carolina town that has a population of a whopping 2,071. There are two towns within 10 miles that have a combined population of about 8,200. We do have a lot of fast food since Highway 421 runs right through. Dear life, please don't make me resort to sucking dick for money. Sincerely, Legion Bunny. P.S. On topic, I was homeschooled for 2 years, but that's only because the work in school was too easy and I got bored in AP classes, so it wasn't that bad.
I think what you're doing with starting is getting the volunteer work, and then you can get references from those volunteer jobs to that'll vouch for you for regular experience.
If you've never actually worked a job, people kind of look at you funny.
And I hate to say it, pretty much everybody's first job is fast food of some sort or another.
You're not, nobody is good enough to not work fast food.
I mean, I did. I don't know about you guys.
I did.
Yeah,
Worked fast food in my life. I've worked at McDonald's. I worked at the restaurant at one of the burger places at Six Flags. I worked at a pizza place until that place closed. And then I worked at a KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut.
Usually the first jobs that anybody gets coming out is either like grocery store bagger or stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Or working for a fast food joint if you don't have a parent's business that you can like schlep into.
Yeah. I worked at Wendy's, and then after about 8 months, I upgraded to retail, and I did that while I was going to college pretty much. Yeah.
I was Mickey D's, and then I went working for a commissary for a small pizza company. So that's how I started out. Very first job was working in the kitchen at a nursing home where I chopped a lot of vegetables and washed a lot of dishes. That's another one to do, dishwasher.
Mm. I didn't have to suck dick for money until I got into the fandom.
Yeah, and even then it was just, supplemental.
And now it's just drawn dick.
It was supplemental.
I think a lot of your problem is you don't have a lot of references.
Yeah.
And you're,
like 19 or something.
Your volunteer work is going to give you, go to the volunteer jobs, do a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Make friends.
Pound, ASVCA, church groups, whatever you have to do where you start basically making a name, for lack of a better term. Become the kid that they all rely on, and then they'll vouch for you, and you can use that to get real work. And sometimes meeting people through those jobs
can open the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Networking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And no matter what the job is, because I've seen a lot of people do this, they think it's a shit job, so they don't care about it. Don't treat a shit job like a shit job. Actually,
you won't have that shit job for long.
Yeah, but actually show some effort, even if you are wiping down the counter at the fast food restaurant and
whatever
stuff like that.
Is own it, make it yours.
Yeah, it's all about getting a good reference, I'm sure when I got my retail job, they probably called my current boss at the fast food place and were like, hey, is this guy a good employee? And if he was like, no, he's a lazy slacker. Well, yeah, I was making $4.25 an hour, but the retail place is not going to pay me $8 an hour if my previous job just said I was a lazy asshole. Yeah. So, actually have your eye on the long term. Don't be one of those fucking furries that's like, well, my job won't let me off for Anthrocon, so I'm just going to quit and get another job after the con.
Yeah.
I'm like, people used to do that before the economy turned to shit.
Yeah. And it's mostly, whatever you do, do it with enthusiasm, do it with pride, and look at everything as, okay, this is another notch on my resume. This is another thing that I can put down. So even shit jobs have their merits. See what you can take away from it. Even if you work fast food, if you keep an eye on the managers, you'll learn about budgeting and ordering and time management. There's always something you can learn from something if you look beyond the minute tasks that you know. Okay, I flip burgers. Okay, well, watch inventory control. Watch how things pace. Mm-hmm. From that, you can learn a lot of things that you can take into other jobs. So everything's learning.
Learn how to suck the chrome off a trailer hitch.
There's that, too. So, yeah.
So, your turn, Chiba, I guess, because I haven't read that one, I think.
Jeeves the root. Let's see. Dear Notcasters, I have been a part of the UK's government-run education system for my entire life, and thus cannot offer any direct experiences on homeschooling.
Okay, next email.
However, I'd like to raise a potential point of conversation that I hope may interest within the scope of this topic. In modern day, education is much less centralized than it once was. While some people lack the capacity, either through lack of money, lack of time, or lack of awareness of such resources, sadly, many others may simply lack the motivation to do so. There's a lot more information available with which to educate oneself. You can use the internet to access peer-reviewed papers, buy electronic copies of textbooks at all grade and experience levels, and even use social media and streaming sites such as YouTube to enhance your knowledge through the guidance of through the guidance of trusted academics, speaking in terms most people are capable of understanding. As such, while the socialization problems and potential biases of parental teachers, which undeniably exist at least some in some homeschooling families, can limit some areas of a child's development, it seems to me that at least intellectually speaking, there has never been a better time for people to be homeschooled. Information has never been more free, and that can only be a good thing. That being said, I remain glad that I was schooled publicly for my entire time in the educational system. Yes, I was bullied. Yes, there were times when I could have advanced faster and had to wait for others in my class to catch up before we could advance. But I cannot imagine a childhood without the playground, or the cafeteria at lunchtime, and all the social interactions, both pleasant and unpleasant, fair and unfair, which school prepared me for experiencing in the real world as an adult. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. P.S. I listed a lot of electronic means by which information is more freely available these days. However, if all else fails, you can still go to this mystical building called a library and withdraw physical, leather-bound versions of PDF files called books. I currently have 3 books withdrawn from my local library, and sadly, according to the labels on the inside cover, I am the first person to borrow any of them in more than a year. Hmm. I mean, he's got a point, and to an extent, but a lot of, depending on the family, and depending on why they're being homeschooled, they can also have limits on how much they're allowed to access the internet. And what they're allowed to view. So,
yeah,
it really depends on the homeschooling situation.
I'm just amused at the idea that books are just leather-bound PDFs.
That's kind of how it is.
I mean, and that's true. I've visited, I don't know how many instructional stuff I've watched on YouTube for how to do shit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I mean,
that's one of the great things. It's like, even for, like, laying out the studio, mm-hmm. I was able to go to the net and just, like, small studio soundproofing layouts.
In-home studio or something like that.
Yeah. There's actually, like, websites and shit for that. And mm-hmm. Or how my mouse wheel stopped working. And I was like, well, shit, I need to figure out how to fix this. Because, I mean, I could go buy a Logitech G502.
Or you could just fix this one.
Or I could fix this one. I was like, I'm going to fix this one first. And I read how to do it. I did it. I cleaned it out. Holy crap, the mouse wheel was disgusting. And I couldn't figure out how to get the wheel back on, but Panther was able to do it. And it works perfectly now. I don't have to replace my mouse that I've had for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, and I found I don't know how many things on, this is how you do this cooking technique, this is how you do that cooking technique, this is a good way to part out a chicken and chop an onion and make pies. And if you want to do it, there's a video on YouTube. It may not be in English, but usually you can just watch and guess.
I use it a lot for figuring out how to make InDesign and Photoshop do what I want.
Yeah, Photoshop tutorials, Illustrator tutorials.
Yeah, because sometimes there'll be some, it'll do something fucking ridiculous, and you'll just Google it, and you will find, like, whole forums, you know, dedicated to the different Adobe suites, and well, it'll be like...
Yeah, I found out that there's, like, forums dedicated to people that have home recording studios that are just like, this is a room in my apartment, or this is a small room in my house, and people discuss layouts and how they have their shit set up.
Yeah. A lot of people do recording for, like a single-person audiobook recording in a closet or something.
Yeah.
Because it's very small. It's inexpensive to
and
completely soundproof.
I have actually...
that's the only problem would be airflow.
When I recorded Cruelty, the audiobook for that one, I actually recorded it in my closet.
Yeah. And there's a lot of natural sound buffering because all your clothes are hanging in there.
And I actually... Now that I think about it, I may try that with that closet in there. For, like, personal recording. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's great. But,
yeah. That's the only thing I need to look more into is how to do airflow. Because, like, you can, like, actually have seen videos of people building an actual sound, isolated sound booth in their homes. And, but they have, like, vents and shit on the bottom for some kind of allowance for airflow. Because, I mean, you...
Yeah, but you'd have to find an apartment to do what you want.
You have to have fans to draw the air, and you have to do it in a certain way so that the fan noise itself isn't creeping into the sound isolation.
It's like you can make yourself a PVC rectangle of some sort, then, you know, cover the interior with a curtain that has foam wrapped on it. And see, my only problem is, like, if I fuck up a take on the audiobook, I have to step out, fix it, delete the take, retake.
You can't bring it.
It's just, that's just my first, that's my real concern, is, like, being able to...
Well, no, you would just, you'd have to fix it in editing. You'd just pause your speaking, leave it running, and then redo it. And then you have to go back later and listen to it and cut out the parts that you fucked up.
Yeah.
Maybe do the clap like what we do, so you've got the spike, too.
That's
This was one good thing that came out of our very long road trip was Tieran had picked out a couple of audiobooks that he wanted to entice me into some of the shit that he listens to. Like, I hadn't really read... I've only read, like, one Brandon Sanderson novella. Mm-hmm. I hadn't read any of the other stuff. So he played audiobook of a Mistborn novel.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Alloy of Law. Because it's the freestanding one after the trilogy, and you can kind of enjoy it as a freestanding story. He'd pause it occasionally if I had a question, or if he was like, okay, this is how this shit works like this. But I really enjoyed that. And then you probably saw it on Goodreads, because I marked them both as... I changed the format to audiobook, but I marked them both as completed books, because, you know, I read them, quote-unquote. The other one was a Dresden book.
Which one?
Summer Night. It was the oldest one, the earliest one that he had in audio format, and he gave me, like, a real brief rundown on the world from the first two, and then we got into it.
The guy that reads the
James Marsters.
Oh, God, he does the full... It's like listening to a radio play.
Yeah.
He's fucking brilliant.
He is really good.
I can listen... I'm okay on audiobooks, but those I can sit and just listen to and go...
So, Summer Night... funny enough, is the one where he fucks up at a point and the producers forgot to edit it out.
Oh, right, right, yes.
So he's reading a passage and then he says, oh, wait, it's on the back of his neck. Fuck. And then he rereads the part that he just read.
Nice.
And that part's in there. He's like, oh, fuck. So, and then, you know, I noticed that book has two editions, so I'm hoping that the later one is going to cut it out, you know. If you bought it on Audible now, that glitch might not be there, but
I wonder if that's the copies that Siam gave him, because we've got...
It was either that or he downloaded them from Audible, I'm not sure which. But, you know, I could have just said, fuck it, put on my iPod and continued the book I was listening to, which was The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest by Stieg Larsson. Which is the third part of the Millennium Trilogy. I don't know if either of you guys have read any of those.
The Stieg Larsson's books?
Yeah.
No. I haven't read them. No. Just,
you know. I saw the movie and was like...
Yeah. So, oddly, this is a trilogy where I'm consuming this media in a different format every time. For Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I watched the American film with Daniel Craig, which I really enjoyed. And then I wanted to read how the story continued, so I read the text of the girl who started fires. I forget exactly what the wording is like. And now I'm listening to the audiobook of the last one. So I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm ending up experiencing the storyline in three totally different mediums. I'm not sure if they're going to make the other two with Daniel Craig or not. It's been a couple years. I mean, I came out in like 2009, I think. So I don't know if maybe it didn't do well enough to justify making the rest of the trilogy or what. But maybe sometime I'll check out the Swedish trilogy that's subtitled and see what they're like. They had been on Netflix for a while. I don't know if they're still on there.
Good question.
But it was enjoyable listening to a couple of Tyrion's books and, like, getting some sort of baseline, you know, for what he and his brother were talking about the whole time on the earlier trip. Because they were having a big argument about Brandon Sanderson's world building and shit like that. And I was just in the back listening to the rain and reading something on my Kindle, so... I don't know. We got on a big sidetrack there about books and stuff, which is fine, because books rule.
Yay.
Yay. So, I want to throw something out there right quick. Sorry. I got an email about this today, and it's perfect timing that Humble Bundle is doing an audiobook bundle.
Mm.
And it's like the max level, it's like over $700 worth of audiobooks, like dozens of hours of audio. So I'm thinking of picking that up and downloading it to my iPod before my long-ass drive to Anthrocon and back.
Probably a good idea.
I'll have a good shitload of books to listen to. So, just a shout-out there for anyone that likes audiobooks. Maybe check that out, see if there's any you're interested in.
Okay.
So moving on.
We should read the next email.
We should actually probably save. I want to take you.
To stop and save, and Sheba was quite correct. We had been recording for right at about an hour at that time. So we try to stop and record every hour just in case. We haven't lost an episode in a really, really long time, but we don't want to make
knock
this one the...
Knock on wood, find something to...
Hey, I already saved this file. shit, that's like plastic. Goddamn.
it was a tree at some point.
Yes.
Maybe
so the episode, to answer the email from earlier, the song in episode 240 is titled The Perils of Polly... by Gaia Consort. That's it. Look them up. They're on... they go under Bone Poets Orchestra now, I think. But it was just thematic to the episode.
I guess I just Googled The Perils of Polly.
Yeah.
Which will probably bring you to our episode, but...
It's kind of crazy if it did. Also, I did check in iTunes and we're nowhere near the top 120. Thank fuck.
Why?
Just think about it. It's like... All these are like furry podcast.
Why would that be bad?
It would just be weird. Anyways.
Be weird in a good way.
Probably.
Like that feeling when someone sticks their tongue in your asshole.
Your thing, Fuzz. So
I only say things like that to see y'all's reactions.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
So this next one's yours, Fuzz.
Okay. Just waiting for it to load on my... Okay, come along here. All right. LDR and depression, help. Hello, Notcasters. Long-time listener, first-time writer here. I'm looking for some advice regarding my current long-distance relationship and possibly ending it. Some background information first. I'm a 21-year-old lesbian and college student living in Colorado. This is my first relationship. My girlfriend lives in Australia. She's a few years younger than I am and doesn't have that great of a home life. Her family can barely afford to put food on the table. She also suffers from depression and anxiety. She has been my best friend for the last few years, and we eventually found ourselves in a relationship. A few weeks ago, after our approximate one-year anniversary, I flew to Australia to visit her and also explore an amazing country. It was fantastic, which brings me to the problem. I have been going to the local community college, living with my parents, and working two jobs. However, I'm going to a larger private college this fall. I know for a fact I won't be able to fund my girlfriend flying here anytime soon, and I won't be taking more vacations to Australia in the next few years either. We have discussed her moving to my college town with a green card, but honestly, it's going to be hard for her to find a job here with no high school or college degree, let alone get a green card. Basically, we will have to put a hold on living our lives for a long time. On top of that, she goes into hibernation every winter, our summer here in the States. I tolerated one summer of that, but this summer it only seems to have gotten worse. Since I came back from Australia, we've barely done anything together, and talking has been minimal. I love my girlfriend very much. She is my best friend. I feel as if she deserves a chance to get her life in order before I pull the plug. However, I can't help but feel that continuing this relationship is unfair to both of us. I'm only 21, and I have the opportunity to find people who are not only local, but in a much better place in life. So am I right in thinking it's best if we break up now, or should I wait and see things work themselves out? This turned out a lot longer than I planned, but I hope I included all important information. Thank you for any advice you can give, the Marmot from Colorado, Aberratty. So my instinct on this is that this is one of those emails where you know what you should do, and you just need somebody to confirm it for you. And I'm strongly getting feeling the opinion that you should break up at this point, because I don't see a lot of hope for the relationship in the immediate future, and you should have a chance to live your life and be happy, especially considering how hard you're working. If you're working two jobs and going to college, and you know, I'm not real impressed with your girlfriend so far, if she doesn't even have a high school diploma yet.
She says she's 21 and she's a couple years younger, so she might not have finished high school yet.
Yeah, which means she's not getting a green card.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. It sounds very bleak for the relationship, but that's just my opinion. What are y'all's?
I'm going to go with you first. Honestly,
same.
I mean, we always hear about these. Oh, they're in Australia. Oh, they're in Europe. You're a 21-year-old living in Colorado.
The other thing is getting a green card to get into the U.S. when you're not married is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
It's not if they can get basically sponsored in by a corporation. Doesn't have anything that would make a corporation sponsor her in. There's a green card lottery, which is good luck if she happens to get the green card that way. Fantastic. But, you know, the only other way to really get into the U.S. is maybe a student visa. It doesn't sound like she's got the money or the drive to do that. And that's temporary anyways. Or marriage. So unless you're going to marry this girl, and I don't think I don't know what the status of U.S. immigration and same-sex.
It's actually okay now. I have friends that did it. That when DOMA fell, that was a call that the federal government had to make, and basically the administration was like, fuck it, federal benefits for everything.
Okay, so so you'd have to marry this girl to get her into the country, and it's a long, long process that takes a fair bit of money to do.
Yeah, and that's the short way. It's still a long-ass process.
Yeah, I mean, I did it. I can give you pointers on it, but it's not gonna fly anytime soon. So, I'm just telling you that's...
And...
Yeah.
So.
It sucks, but honestly, you are correct. You know, you're not going to be able to... She's not really talking to you since you saw her. She don't have any way of getting to the country legally. And you're going to college and you're not going to be able to see her in person for a few years. I mean, worst fucking case, keep in contact with her and see where she is in a few years. But you got to worry about yourself. And getting a college degree and going to college and experiencing all that stuff and all the good and the bad and the fucked up is, should be your priority right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like Fuzz said, you probably wrote this knowing what our answer was going to be, but you want outside validation, and that's understandable and totally reasonable.
Yep.
So,
on to you, Severn.
Yep. All right, next email. Let's see, someone asked a question.
Let's see. I'm going to reply to the off-air guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't realize that was an off-air question. Okay.
No, there was a...
I see it.
Yeah, I'll just do a quick reply to it.
Okay. Yeah, because we probably know a lot more people that do stuff. So, Anonymous asked a question. When I first started out in the fandom, I was glad to have FA for all my furry porn needs. Something I noticed that over time, furries have gotten a lot more comfortable with art that is done in an anatomically correct style. That is, a dog anthro has a knot, a horse furry has a flared head. We even have Bad Dragon, a company that people all joke about but secretly order from. Isn't that all kind of an uncomfortable line to walk between the fantasy of furries and bestiality?
The answer is no. I don't think so. It's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy. I mean, if you're going to... I mean,
my character...
What's the real difference between a dog person with a human dick and a dog person with a dog dick? They're still a dog person. They're not human.
Yeah, and in my opinion, an anthropomorphic is a combination of human and animal. And you can define that in whatever way makes you comfortable. If you think your dog person has a human dick, so be it. My character has a hybrid dick, where he has a human-shaped head and shaft and a canine knot. Because I was like, influenced by Associated Student Bodies. That's how their characters were drawn. And I like the idea of, hey, that is half animal, half human, too. It just kind of goes with the rest of the character.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the whole Harkness test, you know. It's like,
they're
considered like furries aliens.
Yeah.
They're sapient. They have a culture. It's, you know.
And some people like their cocks horrifyingly realistic dog cock red.
Yeah.
With veins and slime .
And even with like Bad Dragon, it's just a differently shaped dildo.
Yeah, it's like we were talking a few weeks back about companies that does that like the Navi fleshlight and the Vampire Mouth fleshlight and you know, all people kinds of fantasy weird shaped sex toys.
I mean, if you're gonna think about, you know, a vampire fleshlight, that's like, is that close to necrophilia? Because vampires are undead,
right? Yeah,
I know you're thinking too hard.
Oh, I want to get a zombie fleshlight. It's basically a zombie head, and you put your dick through the cheek hole.
That sounds terrible, Fuzz. Never say that again. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, you have to determine what you're comfortable with, and that's not going to always coincide with other people.
Yeah.
And so if an artist is drawing dog dicks on their dog people, then maybe watch somebody else.
Yeah.
It all comes down to personal preference. And in the end, it's all fantasy.
Yeah. On the zombie note, two furry authors I know have short stories in an erotic zombie anthology called 50 Shades of Decay.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
gotta love Small Press Publishing.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'd be Shiva's turn next.
Okay, let's see. Not much to say, but there's three paragraphs.
Yes.
Not much to say, but... Hi, guys. Dun, dun, dun. It's the Wolfie Man here. Not much to say, honestly. I'll be meeting a gal at a concert on the 21st to talk about horror movies, so let's just hope it doesn't end the way that most of the movies we'll be talking about do. Aside from that, and being fed up with bullshit about rape culture and social justice warriors in general, it's very quiet. I attended public schools and a state university, so I don't have any real homeschooling stories. Though, I suppose if you count the things I was taught at home, I could go to some of my more interesting conversations with physics and history teachers, which usually ended up with the phrase, "Wolfie man, stop arguing with a textbook, there's not enough time to go into insert issue related to quantum physics or uncomfortable reasons behind historical events." It's like, we don't have time to cover that. Move along. Of course, the real irony is that I had been homeschooled. I've been exposed to less religious bigotry, given I was raised in a family of a lapsed Catholic, a Lutheran, with an interest in shamrock lore, and a pagan aunt. Well, I actually had books taken out of my hands during lunch hour, given an on-the-spot inspection by the teacher who took it, and handed back to me after confirming it wasn't one of those D&D books that's all about Satanism. My religious outlook at my school traveled a long and winding road that started with me being a mildly agnostic cultural Christian and ended up in a semi-public standoff over the school's firewall policy on cult websites. Interesting story, but I don't know that you want to hear about it. In less dramatic views, I bring you a link that you may find of interest. For Shiva, we have a toy from Adam and Eve that she and Sarah might enjoy. I'll look in a moment. Saturn, a silly card game that led to threats of boycotts against the company that made it. And finally, for Fuzz, abducted by the Daleks. I've linked you the TARDIS paddle, but it appeared it was sold off. Howlingly yours, the Wolfie Man.
Unfortunately, the thing on DriveThruRPG is behind a... this is adult content. You have to have an account and log in to see it.
Yeah, that might be interesting, looking at the thing on Adam and Eve. I just don't think it would fit me. The whole thing about being tired about rape culture, and maybe it's because I'm a woman. It probably is because I have a woman. It's like...
You have a woman?
I am a woman. I wish I had a woman, but I don't. Unfortunately, I understand the whole rape culture thing, because whenever I do walk out of a place... Like, I've walked home from here at night, and it's a relatively safe neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I walk out, and every moment, it's like, well, it's a fairly safe neighborhood. I should be okay. There's a guy over there. Is he going to do things to me?
Yeah.
You know, it's just... And I honestly don't know how much of it is scare tactics. Like, Fox News and everything else is, oh, God, be careful of this, or they're going to get you.
Like 4chan's exploding van back in the day.
Get yourself a dog.
Yeah, it's tempting.
Or 4chan and their 9,000 penises that Oprah talked about.
But like I saw on this one through Facebook the other day of, oh, don't put stick figures on your van because then people will know how many children you have and all this other stuff. And predators will know where to get you. Or
that seems a little paranoid.
Yeah, but stuff like that. But still, since I was a young girl, it's like, be on your guard. Watch for everybody. Somebody's going to get you. If you're alone, be scared. Be on, you know, be alert. And I know very well what it's like to walk outside, be alone, and realize something's probably not going to happen to me, but I need to look at that guy, walk out holding your keys like they're a weapon, know where to run, where to go, what to yell. And... Yeah, I wonder if it is being blown out of proportion. But then I know girls who have gotten raped. I know girls who have, you know, been slipped a Mickey or got drunk at a party and woke up with someone, you know, they don't remember, but someone had obviously been at them. You know, they woke up and there's semen between their legs, and they don't remember it happening because they were dead drunk. I mean... It happens, and so, you know, and I know that a couple of them, it was treated seriously, and there was charges pressed and all this other stuff, and I know a couple of them where, yeah, you asked for it, you know, you shouldn't have gotten that drunk, you shouldn't have worn that dress, you know.
And yeah, but that's still a bullshit excuse, though.
Oh, no, I completely understand.
Okay, I thought you were right.
No, I'm just saying that's what it got passed off with, and what they were told, and that's what how other people handle it. It doesn't change the fact that someone stuck their dick in her while she was passed out.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And got off unprotected in her. And yeah, it's scary as fuck. I mean, yeah, rape culture's, it's kind of a drum being banged on, but it's not funny when you've known people's had that happen to them.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it's actually, in my opinion, I mean, the rape culture thing is actually a legitimate thing. And the problem is that a lot of the, you know, the Tumblr arenas that are the really fucking crazy people have cast a bad light on all the social justice movements. You know, you have the really crazy, really loud people, and then, you know, people like me that are just kind of, you know, not heavily involved in any kind of activism or anything. Sees the crazy shit, and then every time I hear the word social justice warrior, I just write it off now as some bullshit. You know, and that's not right either, because there are legitimate problems and legitimate bigotries to actually be concerned about in the world. Yeah. It's just knowing how to balance, how to ignore the really fucking crazy people, you know. Because, yeah, it is very few people, very few feminists are they hate all men. Very few transsexuals are die cis scum. But those small number of really, really loud, obnoxious assholes,
poison it for everybody.
You know, it kind of poisons the pool for everybody.
Yeah,
I was going to say, even then, you know, the whole, you know, people have made rape culture, and I put quotation marks around that, into this buzzword, mm-hmm. right? What they want is people need to treat sexual assault seriously.
Yeah.
In all cases.
Well, no matter if it's
But they
a
need
guy
to also define what sexual assault is.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be, this is not.
Yeah. Rape culture is too big an umbrella. They've used it to cover fucking everything. And
it's like, you know, now I think the current drumbeat is dress codes in schools. That, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, well, you say that I can't wear this short cut blouse and show my bra straps. Well, that's you're sexualizing me, and that's just part of rape culture. No, it's not. It's wear your fucking clothes. You don't see dudes wearing that shit either.
Yeah, you don't see dudes cross dressing.
Well, no, not even that. Just like they're
tight pants and, you know.
Except that skinny jeans is a thing.
Well, no, not even that, but like.
Like the hip huggers, Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, there's certain things that guys have to wear, and women are held to the same standards in a large, you know. I mean, obviously, I've not gone to a school in a very, very long time.
Well, here's the thing, and I actually came up with this the other day. So, there is the whole thing where they're pushing sexualization on girls younger and younger. I mean, Christ, 9-year-olds with push-up bras.
Oh, yeah. That's fucked up.
And they are pushing it out so that there's this skimpier clothing available to a younger crowd. Well, yes, we shouldn't get really hyped up about, oh, you can see my bra strap. Oh, you can see this. Oh, you can see that. Here's the thing. When you are starting to develop, you are turning into a young lady. You are starting to get boobs. You're starting to get a butt. You're very much becoming an adult form. You're not a little girl. You're starting to get the form and figure of a young lady. At that point, you're starting to actually be sexually attractive, especially if you dress it up. And, I mean, you can't help it. You see a girl with boobs, no matter what the age, they're going to kind of catch your attention if you want it to or not. And if you're putting adult clothes on them, it's hard. That's a very mixed signal. You've got young dress, adult clothing, young child changing into an adult form. We as a culture are told, no, bad, don't look at young kids that way because they're kids. But they're not looking like kids. They're looking like adults. They're wearing adult trappings. They're showing off an adult form. If you see a 15 or 16-year-old with very much cleavage showing, and they do have boobs and they do have hips and they have little tiny short shorts. I mean, they're dressing like adults. They're starting to have adult forms.
They're still kids.
So people are going to start having adult thoughts about it, and then we feel bad because they're kids. So they're throwing mixed signals at us that it's not appropriate for us to really be thinking of them that way, but they're dressing that way, so they're looking that way. So it's helping, if you ask them to put their clothes on, in part one, that we shouldn't be thinking of them that way, but they're dressing that way. So don't dress that way so that we don't have inappropriate thoughts about someone who's way too freaking young to do anything like that with ever. I mean, and then we get called perverts because they're dressed like adults, showing off all their goodies. And there's like supposed to be this magical switch at 18 where suddenly this invisibility shield that's only penetrable if you're 18 or younger switches at 18 when they cross that magical barrier, and suddenly all the people under 18 can't see their tits, and over 18 it's okay now.
Or then you have the magical situations where, you know, people hide behind the fact that they're 17. How would how dare you talk to an underage person that way? Then the moment they turn 18, they have lingerie pics of themselves showing up on the internet and they open a porn blog.
Yeah, it's just mixed messages. And so yeah. I do understand, yeah, kids, cover up your bra, wear a little bit more decorum because you're making adults think things that they don't want to think. And it sounds stupid, but we're human.
Yeah. We just have a weird fucked up puritanical culture in America.
But at the same time, though, like, we saw the pictures of that one girl that got kicked out of the prom or whatever. Her dress was not really short.
Oh, no. Trust me. That I saw that one. She was fine.
And that's the thing, there's dress codes as just as an in, you know, something that I've seen pop up more frequently. And Jesus Christ, you're opening a can of worms with this. But you said it, Shiva, not a dude. You said it.
That's why I went there. I'm
just saying, you said it. It's one of those things that there's no one magic bullet.
And there's not a magical...
A prom dress is a little bit different than day-to-day school wear.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to go into something pretty, kind of skimpy, kind of sexy to a prom. And at least then it's okay to kind of look and oogle, if you're an adult, look and oogle a little, but you're not going to think about touching. You just kind of appreciate the view.
You're a chaperone here.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that the whole Western society is a fucked up double standard when it comes to sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, young men are patted on the back and told to go out and fuck bitches.
And what bitches are they supposed to fuck? All of them are supposed to cross their legs.
Yeah, all the girls are told, if you fuck anybody, you're a slut and a terrible person. So the boys can't fuck the girls, and they can't fuck the other boys because being gay is terrible. So who are they fucking? Farm animals. That's the only alternative.
I was going to say fleshlights.
Fuck that slutty sheep. She shouldn't have been shorn so short. She was asking for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's the Scotland in me. I love it when you talk dirty, you wee beauty. Sorry, I stole that one from Billy Connolly. But there's
Yeah, there's a lot of fucked up shit, and I hope we didn't open a can of worms with this, because we're going to get a lot of emails if we do.
I mean...
After our crossover with Unfurled, I don't think anyone on Tumblr listens to the show.
Thank God.
Reblog!
Again, this is a show for relationship advice, not SJ Tumblr circle jerk bullshit.
Sorry, Wolfie Man. I opened a can of worms. You mentioned rape culture to a girl who's known girls who've gotten raped.
Yeah, I would definitely. I hate to say it, but I think you kind of have your head in your ass by just dismissing rape culture and all of the. Because the yes all women thing is all very accurate. You know, you may not feel like you're threatening anybody. Like, I try to be cognizant of this. Like, I had this discussion on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Like, if I'm following a woman because we're going to the same building, I worry that she's going to whip around and mace me in the face.
Because for some reason she thinks that...
You know, because there's a man following close behind her, you know, because it's like, this is what our culture has done. It's terrified all women, you know, and all men look like monsters unless proven otherwise. And I almost want to, like, wear a t-shirt like, I'm going to be gay married, I am not a rapist, and or something like that, just to like put women at ease.
Just a shirt says avowed homosexual. Literally, because you'll be married, you're taking vows,
right? Yeah.
And gay you trust
and cock we trust. But yeah, it's just that crazy, you know. I remember years ago my sister told me, like, when she worked downtown and had to walk through kind of a shady neighborhood between where she had to park and where the office was, and guys catcalling her and stuff. And I'm ashamed how ignorant I have been all these years.
Oh, God.
Basically, like, I am mostly gay. Most of my friends are men. I don't really
try to date. A lot of friends that don't catcall because they're gay.
Right. And I don't generally try to date women or fuck women. And it kind of did, this whole yes all women thing did kind of come as a shock to me, that this fear of men and this douche level of a lot of straight guys was actually a thing.
I've been catcalled before.
Like, I thought we were
walking by things, you know.
Like, I thought we were over this. I mean, we've only had two genders in this species for, like, a million years.
I mean,
you know, this is, like, the lowest bar to get over. Why are we still having this problem?
Out here on the street, I used to go walking. And when I would go walking, there'd be a couple of, they look like young guys. They'd stop and holler at me out the window. They're being assholes. They weren't meaning it, but, you know, because it would start out like, hey, baby, and then they'd drive off and yell fatty out the window. But they do that, and it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
No.
And you're so used to it, you just kind of blow it off and go about your day.
Well,
but that's not really right, though.
Don't really have a choice but to blow it off. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's kind of going on for high school when someone would say something underneath their breath to you and you couldn't call them out on it because you'd get in trouble. It's the same thing, but on a larger scale, except it's kept happening to women. You know, whether you come across a pack of, you know, men. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, construction workers have done it, contractors, those group of kids, I'd say kids because they look like 21, 19,
yeah,
who did it to me on the street out there. It's not comfortable. It makes your skin crawl, especially, and then in the end it just turns out into an excuse to insult you, you know. It's mind games. It has nothing actually to do so much with sexuality. It's just power tripping, and hey, you're... Maybe some of the catcalls are comfortable. They do me the compliment, but
yeah,
sometimes it's just acting a big man in front of your buddies because you've got, the balls to say anything.
It's really kind of crazy when their excuse is like, but it's a compliment. And it's like,
fuck, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
And see, and this is where I come into this. I'm gay. I would never in a million fucking years catcall somebody because that's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of my friends are dudes. I don't have a lot of female friends.
A lot of your dudes, again, are gay.
A lot of my dude friends are gay. And the circles I run with are all nerd. And nerds don't fucking do this.
Well, except that they do.
Okay.
There are
fucktards that grow. Okay. The people I associate with, just saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, no, like, I'm the same way. Like, I was in my little bubble of people who are not assholes.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know. Obviously, none of the people I would call a friend would do that. But all my friends are also over 25. Some of them are married with their and straight, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just quiet dudes. And so I don't see this shit. And it just kind of... Personally, it kind of blows my mind that people would do that. I'm like, that's just rude.
But yeah.
I was raised, you know, you don't do that.
Yeah, it would never occur to me to act that way.
It's like,
it was a genuine surprise that people act that way to that degree. It is kind of like you think the gross construction worker yelling is just a silly cartoon stereotype. And it's not. People actually do that shit.
I mean, but it's like... And this is, of course, this is a consequence of the circles I roll with. But, like, I don't see this at, like, furry cons at all. You know, at anime cons, cons have really cracked down on harassment of cosplayers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the policies that we're adopting for Nightmare Nights and the policies that we should adopt for Fiesta
are, costume doesn't equal consent.
No, yeah, cosplay is not consent. But, like, the policies that, like, all con have are fucking draconian, and I'm adopting them. Because it's, like... You grope a cosplayer, you fuck with someone because of how they're dressed at our event, and your ass is down the stairs. Because, you know, seriously, you don't think that people would do that, but yet people will. And you need to have policies in place that punish it severely.
Yeah.
Because that is unacceptable behavior.
And, you know, I have heard about this happening at furry cons, not directly, but through third hand at this point, but it does happen. And
such and such gropes a fur suitor.
No, just people being, it does happen with groping fursuiters. Yeah. I've heard those stories.
And that's usually dude on dude, but
like,
even then,
a lot of female artists, like, being followed back to their rooms by someone just creeping on them, and like, maybe, you know, the people that are just not all there with the social skills, and they don't realize that it's very intimidating for a guy to follow a woman back to her room and not take a hint, you know. And most people are generally too polite to blatantly turn around and say, "Hey, you're creeping the fuck out of me. Go away." You know, you just don't really think to do that most of the time. And some of these really socially maladjusted people, they don't take a fucking hint of trying to be polite about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard about this happening, and it's, I like to think that maybe it doesn't happen to the same degree in our community, you know, because we're mostly a bunch of fags. But I think it happens more than I know, more than I see, because I haven't really been looking for it, and I didn't know it was there.
Even in gay culture, you know, there's...
I've been wolfed at.
Yeah, well... there's that, but also, you know, there's even somewhat of, you know, sexual assault amongst the rape culture. Avery...
You mean gay culture?
Huh?
Okay, go on.
Gay culture. Especially club culture. It's like, even Avery... Oh,
yeah, club culture.
Avery's had stuff dropped in his drink down at S4. Somebody tried to roofie him with something. So yeah. I don't know if it was E or what, but he's had shit dropped in his drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back just to see the last little bit of it melting away. So, yeah, sexual assault happens in the gay culture,
totally.
Too. A lot.
But I do think, though, that a lot of it is, like, for Fuzz and I, we just don't see it because, A, we're dudes, and B, we're gay. We hang out with mainly gay dudes that either have relationships and wouldn't do that, you know?
And also not in the club scene.
We've curated our particular friend circles that we don't encounter that.
In general, even just the... I'll say right now. I mean, I've said some fucked up shit in the past on this show in the way of humor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I joked with Sheba about her going in the kitchen and making me a sandwich, but... You know, she
also know that I like to cook too.
Yeah, and you also know that I don't actually mean anything by it, but that's all right. But then I, you know, now that I'm more aware of this in a larger cultural extent, that's not really something I should say to a larger audience. You know, so from now on, I'm going to say that because he's a fox, Saverin needs to get in the kitchen and make the wolf a sandwich.
Yep, yep.
I think that's a lot more culturally sensitive. Don't you agree, Sheva? Do you want a sandwich? Let Saverin make one for you.
You've got like a million different kinds of cheese in there.
Well, you got Panther.
Panther went to Whole Foods.
I assume Panther equals cheese.
Yes, they have the little $3 samplers.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a bunch of them, and they're all tasty.
Nice.
So
what were you going to say before I so rudely interrupted you with... my wolfish dominance.
I actually saw these shirts at Akon. I saw at least two people wearing these shirts.
Uh-huh.
It was, "That's nice, babe. Now get in the kitchen and make me a sandwich."
Oh my God, really?
And I gave those people such looks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you fucktard. You're wearing this. And Akon's demographics are actually, there are, this is according to last year's, there are more women that go to Akon than men.
Interesting. I mean, I knew anime had a large female following.
It's a massive female following. And I just looked at these guys, I'm just like...
Are you hoping to just never get laid? Is that what you're saying?
Do you want to get hit by a cosplayer? You know, is some chick dressed up for one of the chicks from Attack on Titan? Do you want her to just slice you up with her plywood sword? I really wondered, because I'm like... The fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, cultural awareness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have that shirt. I have the body of a god. I wear it to the gym usually.
Uh-huh.
And it's got Buddha on it. But yeah. I was wearing it the other day, and I had this moment of cultural awareness where I'm like, I'm going down on Harry Hines, and there's a lot of Asian people out there because they're primarily Chinese import companies that handle mm-hmm. import goods.
Oh, look at you and your cultural appropriation.
No, it was just one of those. Okay. Most of these people probably won't care, but I felt like an asshole. Yeah. Because I was wearing a shirt that says I have the body of a god with a Buddha on it, fat laughing Buddha,
mm-hmm.
in a predominantly Chinese part of town. And I'm like, I look like an asshole. And I'm like, I will be more careful where I wear this shirt in the future.
This is white awareness. Not awareness of white people. White people being aware of other people.
Mm. Yeah, it's like just moments of cultural awareness. You're like, yeah, I should probably...
not wear this not to wear the this Asian neighborhood.
Just kind of not in general. But it's a good gym. It's a good shirt to wear to the gym. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple people that complimented me on it because it's funny.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to the gym and I've got this shirt that says I have the body of a god. And obviously I'm trying to get away from that. You know, mm-hmm. maybe when I'm done I'll get, you know, and I'm looking good and muscular, I'll get the body of a god and I'll have Thor on it.
Right.
Shirtless.
You're going to have to dye your hair.
Grow a beard.
I'm going to go to the gym wearing their shirt that says exercise. Eggs are sides for bacon. Bacon. It's like a 6-line thing.
So, yeah, we're ticking along. We should probably... Yeah,
we should probably at this point just say that's it for
thanks,
this week.
Thanks, Wolfie, man. You got us on a really good tangent of how much we disagree with you right now.
Or at least that one little snide.
It's not that we do disagree with the you know, the sharp dismissal of it, but we, you know, it is a moment of cultural perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And we've hopefully...
You know, and we're not going totally Tumblr fag on you guys, I think it is important that we talk about issues like these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in ways that, you know, like the creeping on artists and stuff, there's stuff that we can do in, like, the con scene.
You know, as attendees, as
staff.
Older, more mature people in the fandom, as staff members, as dealers, you know, we're going to be more aware, you know, and if we see fucked up shit, you know, say something about it. Because the thing is, and what I've been reading up about is that a lot of this shit goes unnoticed because asshole guys don't do this shit in front of other men. It's a very cowardly act.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, for some things, you know, you don't pick up and creep on and stuff when, like, your buddy is standing right there.
Or sometimes you do as a group, but, right. You know, sometimes it's a matter of...
But they've said that a lot of the more insidious stuff, you know, the hands-on, literally hands-on sexual harassment and stuff like that, you tend to not do that when another guy is present. Because they would be like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing, son?
It's really just pay attention, keep both eyes open, you know, especially on... your female friends.
Well, yeah. If you do it in front of somebody else, you know, it's usually one man, one woman, slips in a grope. Because if somebody else witnesses, then they can back them up. If she squawks, oh, she's just being an overactive little cow. I didn't do anything. It's, again, back to high school bullshit of, oh, I didn't shove him, he tripped. You know, it's the same shit that went on in high school. If he said, she had said... victims making more out of it than it is. It went on in high school, and it's the same continuation of that.
And to the people that cry about, oh, she's just making it up, it's just a rape allegation, it doesn't mean anything, the percentage of actual false rape allegations is as low as the percentage of voter fraud that people claim is a massive issue, but it really isn't. You know, people fake this shit extremely rarely, like statistically insignificantly rarely.
Because as soon as you start trying to do anything about it, the shame and the embarrassment that comes forth when you're trying to do it, it takes a lot to muscle forward and to do. And as soon as it starts getting cross-examined, people tend to withdraw it real quick.
In general, you don't fake that kind of
It's about thing.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of social pressure. So,
yeah, and this is where we get to be like, yeah, we are a lot older than the average age of the furry community, and I think that we're also the age where we do need to take on leadership roles, and we have, you know, not necessarily, you know, we are not saying we're leaders or anything, but where we try, the reason this show exists is we try to help the younger generation of furries.
Right. That are at least 18. At least 18. Because they shouldn't be listening to this dirty mess.
Right. And, you know, we want... the younger community to have a little bit less trouble than we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we run conventions. We want to make sure that our conventions are safe spaces for all of our attendees.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what.
And, you know, there's lots of concerns that when you are somebody in a position of power, as brief and fleeting as it may be, you want to make sure that everyone that's, quote, under you is taken care of.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a con staffer, you are somewhat responsible for your attendees.
Oh, I'm 100% responsible for the stuff that happens in my game room.
So
if I see shit going down, I have to stop it.
You know, the people that you're responsible for that weekend, you know, you want to take care of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
be more socially responsible and keep an eye out and say something if you witness any fucked up shit. And don't just let assholes get away with being assholes and then blow it off like it's no big deal.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not all just Tumblr bullshit. Some of it is actually legit concerns. And
yeah.
Don't let the noise override the signal.
Yes. You know, the message is out there no matter how, even if some people are, you know, wearing clown underwear while they're yelling it, the basic message is still kind of there.
Yeah.
Sarah just gave me the most confused look. It was brilliant.
That's anyway, the point.
On that note, fuck bitches, get scritches.
Right. So, yes, if you like the show and want to see us continue to do it for the rest of our lives because the ride never ends, go to adamandeve.com, buy yourself a dildo or something, and
use a coupon code not
CANNONT.
Buy yourself a feminist dildo.
Okay.
What?
I don't know.
Fuzz, stop. Yeah.
And adamandeve.com.
You'll get half shipping. Of an item and free shipping past a certain point.
Good night.
Big balls.
Bye.